Now, whether you're laughing to avoid an awkward situation or laughing because something funny happened, laughter of any kind can often boost our mood. And it's not just good for our mental health. Our next guest joins us to talk about the health benefits of laughing and why she's trying to laugh more each day. And maybe you should, too. So we want to hear from you this half hour. What makes you laugh? Do you try to laugh every day? And do you find laughing improves your mood? Join us. 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Dietlin is a keynote speaker, author, and founder of the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy. And Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh my goodness. So happy to be with you, Lee. And you know what? It's St. Patrick's Day. I think when all of us think about St. Patrick's Day, we all laugh and smile.
Absolutely. So, but how did you start down this personal voyage or investigation into laughter and what it means for you and everybody else?
You know, that is a great question. I think it first came to me when I was thinking about my mother's life. My mother is still alive, and she's in her early 80s, and she had a tough life. You know, many people have tough lives, and they become very bitter, and I have those people in my family. But when I thought about my mom, and as you know, I'm an author, I thought the title of the book would be My Mom's Story, A Life Lived in Courage and Laughter. And I started thinking about how often my family laughs. And that is one of our favorite things to do. And we are boisterous at Lee, and we are loud, and we laugh a lot.
Oh, you're those kind of laughers. I am too. So, but you found that first of all, this laughter thing that we do, it's not a language. It's not cultural. It's universal, or at least among humans, isn't it? Is there any humans that don't laugh?
No, that's what was shocking to me when I started doing some research is that, you know, when people go and travel, whether they're anthropologists, archaeologists, sociologists, anyologists, no matter what group they meet, they find that laughter is universal. And it's not just in humans, Lee. Primates siblings or sisters or close related relatives in the terms of the ape family, gorillas and chimpanzees, they actually laugh too. So it's a little bit more than beyond human beings. But when you think about all the places we travel and trying to fit in, you know, I love to travel internationally and I always try to prepare by studying a few phrases in a different language or understanding the customs. But I find if I have laughter in my toolbox, in my hip pocket, it goes a lot further in the conversation than, you know, getting frustrated that I didn't say the phrase right, or I didn't, you know, use the correct fork or whatever. I just love to laugh.
Well, and it can be a salve, certainly. But where does laughter fit in our human development? How does it evolve from, you know, from childhood, from infancy? I mean,
it evolves. Go ahead.
Do we laugh before we speak?
Yes, we sure do. How many of us don't look at little babies and love it when they smile at us or when they do that first giggle and they have those bubbles coming out of their mouth? And we just get so effervescent around babies when we want them to laugh and we want them to smile. And people who study babies find that babies usually start laughing. Are you ready for this, Lee?
Yeah.
At 3 months old. They start laughing at 3 months old.
Well, Lisa, they're not laughing at us. They're laughing with us.
Absolutely, they are. And, you know, it does so much for your mental health. I know we're going to talk about the physical part, you know, how it affects you physically. But in this day and age, when we talk and we're so worried about the mental health of so many people, especially our young people, our Gen Zers and Gen Yers, and it is such an endorphin release that you have this momentary high, and it helps. Studies have shown that it really helps your mental state. And I'm not talking about poking fun at somebody or laughing at somebody in distress. I mean, that's not the type of laughter we're talking about. We're talking about laughter that, you know, comes from the tips of your toes to the top of your head, and that really allows you to enjoy the moment that you're in, even if you're laughing at yourself.
Lisa Dietlin, our guest, I'm laughing with her right now, and we're inviting you to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234 with an important question about our health, the mental and physical. What makes you laugh and why? Let's start with Lynn and Lyons this afternoon. Lynn, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi, what do you think?
I actually had a question. I don't laugh. Is it because I've heard every joke on the planet, or is there something wrong with me?
You don't laugh? Do you find things funny? And what's your response when you find something humorous?
I find it funny, but I don't respond.
Huh. That's interesting.
You know, I will jump in here, Lee. You know, recently, you know, last week, Lynn, is it? That's your name, right, Lynn?
Yep.
Okay, last week, Lynn, as you know, was International Women's Day, and Gloria Steinem was on many broadcasts and podcasts and interviews, and she said something that I had never heard before. She said, "Laughter is the only free emotion. It's the one that cannot be commanded, that you cannot be commanded to laugh." You know, you can't be like, I'm going to tell you this joke and you're going to laugh, or you're going to love this line in this movie or this sitcom. And she said, it's a way of, in her opinion, and whatever you think of Gloria Steinem, you know, it's in her opinion, the one emotion that we can control. You can be commanded to cry. You know, we see actors and actresses cry on cue, or she says, you know, we can be made to feel like we're in love, but you cannot be made to laugh. So I haven't dug deep enough to understand why you might not laugh. You might find it humorous, but you might not laugh. But if you take a page out of Gloria Steinem's book, she would say it's about a control issue, that it's you saying, I find it humorous, but I'm just not going to laugh.
Interesting. And Lynn, thank you so much for that perspective. Let's go now to Ginny in Platteville, who joins Lisa Dietlin. Ginny, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to make a comment. I volunteer one day.
Oh, you're cutting out a little bit here, Ginny. Give me a second, and we'll get back to you in a second once you get a better cell reception. We'll try again because I really want to hear from you. But
I do too.
I will ask you, Lisa, if there are ways, tools, or tips we can use to get more laughter out of our day, how can we find it without forcing it? Maybe it's a good question for Lynn as well.
Well, I think, yes, you can find it and you can incorporate it in your life. You know, some of the things that are recommended is have humorous things around you. I don't know about you, but I have bulletin boards in my office and whiteboards and pushpin boards. And I'm always, you know, I always put up sayings or things that bring a smile to my face. I have this one which shows this lady, you know, dressed in like her Sunday best, and there's a puddle, and it says, sometimes the best answer is what the heck, and she's going to jump the puddle. Every time I look at it, I do just like that. I just laugh like, yeah, you know, like what the heck, I'm going to try, you know, and the lady probably in the picture appears to be about 60 years old. And she's like, what the heck, I'm going to jump this puddle. And so one of the recommendations is, you know, to put humor on your horizon, have things in your house that make you laugh or make you smile. I love MASH. I have rediscovered MASH. You know, I don't think we watched it growing up. You know, I didn't have uncles that went and fought in the Vietnam War or aunts that were nurses, but I put on MASH when I want a good laugh, and the antics of Alan Alda and, you know, William Ogden Steers and all the other castmates, you know, just make me laugh from the tips of my toes to the top of my head. Their antics are just unbelievable.
I appreciate that perspective. Let's see if we can get back to Ginny now with a better reception. Ginny, can you hear us?
Yeah, I went to my cell instead of my hands free. Can you hear me better?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. I volunteer one day a week at a thrift store in town, and everybody who's there wants to be there, loves being there, and we laugh so much. And everyone who's there, the customers, the employees, everybody, is so happy when they're there, and you leave there feeling good. And I think a big secret is to be around people who want to be where they are. Volunteering is a huge thing for me.
I love that. And while you might not get paid in currency, there is a certain currency to laughter, right, Lisa?
Yes,
absolutely. I agree with Jenny. You know, Jenny, when you were saying that, I was thinking I volunteer at our food bank, the Greater Chicago Food Depository here in Chicago. And the last time I volunteered to put boxes together, I always seem to get on the box duty, like physically putting the boxes together, you know, so there's paper cuts happening and you're wrestling these boxes, and they put on the best music, and I love music. And so I'm dancing and I'm singing and I'm making, and everyone is just cracking up laughing, you know, and before you know it, other people are being silly. And because we all want to be there, Jenny, like you said, at the thrift store, everybody wants to be there. Everyone has a smile, and it just takes one spark. You know, it takes one person saying, oh my gosh, let's all have a dance party, or oh my gosh, you know, isn't this fun? And I think in life, sometimes we get way too serious. My bookkeeper always says in my company about 2:30 in the afternoon, dance party. Exactly, Lee. Who doesn't love a dance party, you know?
Well, we are having a virtual dance party here on Central Time this afternoon with our guest, Lisa Dietland, keynote speaker, author, and founder of the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy. And we're talking about the importance of laughter with you at 1-800-642-1234. More of your calls and the reasons why we laugh next on Central Time. Hey, it's Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're continuing our talk with Lisa Dietland, the founder of the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy, about why she finds joy in laughing and looks at it as a way to deal with some difficult things that happen in all of our lives. So what makes you laugh? Do you ever force a good laugh just to feel better? And how do you feel like laughing can change a social situation? 1-800-642-1234, where Dee in Bayfield standing by. Dee, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you, and thank you for taking my call. What I like about those moments when we discover laughter is it takes me down a notch. And, the example I gave the operator is those moments when I think I have it all together. I think I'm on top of mindfulness, that I'm living in the here and now, and then I end up pushing on the pull door. or I try to get out of my car and I still have my seatbelt on. And mm-hmm. and so it's those moments when I get a dose of reality. Nature is sort of tapping on my shoulder and saying, not yet. You're not perfect yet.
Yes, but it's also a sense of forgiveness and grace that it's really that's really what it is, to me anyways. It gives yourself a great degree of grace, and the ability to laugh at yourself, I would imagine, is a perfect salve for every time you feel your pride hurt a little bit.
It absolutely is. It's a balm for the soul. You know, It takes you out of your seriousness. Like, oh my gosh, I made such a mistake. You know, I appear on television, and I was in a chair getting ready, and it was a higher chair, and I dropped something on the floor, and I went to put my foot down. So I'm in like a high bar stool getting ready for the next segment, and they're on camera. The anchors are on camera. So I take my foot and I stretch it to grab that thing, you know, to roll it back toward me. And I fell out of the chair.
Oh.
I literally fell out of the chair, and I'm in this skirt and I'm on the ground, and it goes boom in the studio. And thank gosh they were going to commercial, but the anchors came running over and Rosemary came running over, and they're all like, are you okay? And I just laughed, because the next time I came, they had a step stool for me.
They were prepared for Lisa Dietland.
They were, and I wasn't, you know, I just thought, and my only thing was, I remember looking at the camera guy, like, is my necklace straight? Like, now I'm all disheveled. And I kid you not, to a person after that interview, people said, my gosh, your eyes were just sparking, like you were just on fire. And I thought, oh my God, if you only knew. And I told them, they go, oh my gosh. So it is true. Whether you push the pull door or pull the push door or whatever you do, you got to have some humor at yourself, you know, and be willing to get back, you know, back in the saddle and try again. And, you know, part of it is we live in a world that so much is thrown at us, you know, Lee, that is negative. And my alma mater, Michigan State, had the shooting recently, and going on in Turkey and Syria, let alone, you know, the shootings that happen every day all over the world and what's going on in the Ukraine. And I thought, how do I get through it? And I thought, laughter, you know, making time to laugh, because otherwise you drown in the sadness.
Hmm. And, you know, from the news perspective and dealing with news every day, and then sometimes filling in a live radio show, I inevitably virtually fall out of my chair all the time. So let's continue with the conversation with calls at 1-800-642-1234, where, let me see here, Dennis in Two Rivers, good afternoon.
Hi, Lee. Yeah, sometimes we need to have a laugh because of all the serious things going on. Like, I know this is a month and a half late, but what bugs me are soil hoarders.
Soil hoarders? I am not familiar.
Well, they're celebrated on February 2nd. How? Why would we celebrate groundhogs?
But we love to laugh at Punxsutawney Phil, Dennis. We love to laugh at everyone in top hats. It's so silly.
You got a problem with groundhogs, Dennis?
Yeah, and he doesn't chuck wood worth a darn either.
Oh, Dennis, I think you called to make us laugh.
Thank you for that, Dennis. We need that. Let's go to Steve, who's driving through. Steve, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, this is Steve. Listen, I'm a musician and I play at nursing homes, and that includes memory care, assisted living, and independent living. In fact, I'm driving right now back from a gig at a nursing home, and I'll tell you, I play music. I try to choose music that's going to make them smile, going to make them laugh. This afternoon, I played some music that just got people up laughing and dancing and carrying on. It was a treat just getting people out of, you know, the isolation of living under those conditions and that sort of thing. And, it was just memorable.
Yeah, so. Memorable for them, but it sounds like you got as much out of it as anybody else, Steve.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct.
So,
and you know,
yeah, Lisa,
Steve, what I'm thinking about is during COVID, how we found things like that when we were locked in, and whether you believe we should have been shut in or not, what was beautiful is how creative we all got, you know, and how many videos we'd watch or things on Facebook or Instagram or whatever of people being really creative and just to laugh, because it just seems so serious around us. And you're absolutely right. When you're isolated, you need a good belly laugh and a good reason to smile.
We've got our Central Time producer, Emily Burdett, told us how she resets after a day of reading some tough news stories, which has been part of her job for the last year. And it's her last day today, so it's a little bittersweet for all of us. But she sounded off on what makes her laugh.
Something that seems to always be able to lighten my mood is just going to the dog park with my dog, or going out for a walk in nature, and just sort of, especially if I've been reading a lot of sad news stories, or I feel like there's just a lot of bad things going on in the world at that time, just kind of putting my phone away, leaving my phone at the house, and going outdoors and hanging out with my dog and seeing other people's dogs.
Lisa Dietland, can you explain to us why it is that our domestic animals bring us so much never-ending joy?
I don't understand it because I'm not an animal lover. No, I do. I obviously do. I have friends that do it. I grew up with animals, and many of my siblings have cats and dogs. And they bring that comfort. They bring that emotional support. And they're silly, you know. They do silly things. They have silly grins on their face, or, you know, they chase their own tail, or their, you know, paw in the sunlight. And they just bring us that comfort that we so need in our lives. And I'm so sad to see Emily go. I'm glad for the adventure ahead of her, but I am glad that she has realized that when you deal in a tough business, as you folks do, with the difficult news that comes every single day to your doorstep that you have to report on, that finding those outlets, finding those moments that bring humor to your life or a smile, you know, it's the small things, even if you don't have a belly laugh, you know, and I know some of us are dealing with really serious issues. Even if you don't have that belly laugh, find something to smile about. And if it's throwing a stick for your dog to retrieve, or catnip for your cat, or, you know, walking outside, or knowing a good knock-knock joke, watching a old sitcom that brings a smile to your face. There's nothing like, you know, a deputy Barney Fife on Andy Griffith, you know, that slapstick Jerry Lewis or Dean Martin, whatever it is that brings a smile to your face, that lightens your mood a little bit. It does help you physically, your internal organs, you know, reap the benefit of it. Your blood pressure goes down. They actually say that there was a study done. I can't believe all the studies that are done on laughter, Lee, but there was a study done saying that if somehow people would have heart attacks, and then they're in a restaurant and something happens, water gets spilled on them, wine, the people that laugh have like this 80% less likelihood of having a second heart attack if you laugh at the fact that water was spilt on you or wine spilt or something happened than if you got really angry. And I thought, boy, that's a really special area of research, but I'm all laugh when something bad. And I've seen, you know, we've all seen that where a plate of spaghetti falls off the plate, or, you know, I had a friend and in a pub we were in, and a board member was trying to be funny, and he had the tray over his head and brought it down, and every drink fell on her head. Ooh. I mean, like, she was drenched, and he was horrified, and she laughed.
It's about you react to it and what that reaction means about not just your mental health, but your physical well-being. Lisa Dietlin, we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for yours this afternoon and for the good laughs.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to all of our callers, too. Keep laughing.
Lisa Dietlin, keynote speaker, author, and founder of the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy, joining us today to talk about why she started laughing more and the importance of experiencing laughter.